I love coming to the Good Food Festival and Conference. This year's edition 2015 at the UIC Forum, I was sitting at my table giving away, well, not giving away, selling copies of Attack of the Killer Asparagus and informing people about my podcast. And then I went wandering into the commons where there are vendors, there are foodies, there are people like Karen Hudson, who's been on this program before, who is with a couple of organizations that you should know about. Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water is one of them, and that's iccaw.org. And also Socially Responsible Agricultural Project, and that's SRAproject.org. Now, why is Karen important? Because she's fighting the battle of CAFOs in Illinois, and those are confined animal feeding operations. And they are nothing but bad news. And she has been on my program before. We've talked about this. Karen, it's great to see you.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's great to see you today. We have so many people, old faces and new. It's been a great day so far, and I'm so glad I bumped into you today so I can give you an update on what we've been up to.
Okay. Now, this update, just because I'm not sure when this is going to air, we're March 21st, 2015, and what is the update with CAFOs in Illinois?
Well, first of all, there's a very large facility attempting to locate near Lincoln's New Salem, which...
Okay, stop right there. Lincoln's New Salem?
Oh, yes.
Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. I've been to New Salem, and it's this quaint little area where you walk around, and it's very quiet, and it's very nice, and they've got an interpretation center there, and they do arts, and they explain what it was like living in the 19th century, and where Lincoln grew up in New Salem, Illinois, and they're going to do what?
A large-scale swine operation or factory farm of over 9,000 animals is slated to be located near Lincoln's New Salem. And there is a very large coalition of people we're working with. In fact, they borrowed my sign, which I've had about 15 years, that says Illinois Land of Stinkin' instead Land of Lincoln. And it's a parody on what's happening to the state of Illinois. I was out of town for 2 weeks, and I arrived home yesterday to our farm, and I was greeted with the stench from our local factory farm, which is located 4 miles from my farm. So it is a problem. The odor is the tip of the iceberg, but we're continuing to work on legislation in Illinois to tighten up some of the problems we've already got.
All right, look, before we move on here, okay, what does a homeowner like you or a farm owner do if you have something like that in your neighborhood? What sort of recourse do you have?
Our recourse is really not much. There are many nuisance suits going around the country right now, and literally that is one of the few things that's working. With nuisance, you can go in and say, this is a nuisance on my public property and my quality of life, and those suits are following through, and people are being forced to go down that avenue to protect themselves when actually the law should be protecting them.
It absolutely should, but and your property values go down, obviously.
Yes. Our research shows anywhere between 5 to 90% is the decrease in property values, depending on the topography of the land, where you're located from the facility, what type of facility, and the number of animals.
And I believe you and I have talked about that before.
Yes.
That's some of the recourse. That's in the courts. That's where some people are going with that, is that our property values are going
down. We have appealed property taxes in Illinois and have had them lowered. One story that your listeners may be interested in, there was a large-scale factory swine farmer out in the Midwestern Plains that appealed his own property taxes, being that his house was on his farm, and he had his own property taxes reduced from his own factory farm. So it goes both ways.
That is the classic definition of chutzpah.
Yes.
It is. You set up a factory farm and then claim, well, you know, the smell's terrible. You better reduce my property taxes.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, you know, when the industry says, you know, this shouldn't happen, I ask, why would a factory farmer appeal his own property taxes? And most of these facilities do not have the owner or the investors or the operators live nearby. Usually there is nothing there. Now, on many factory farms in Illinois, you may see a house nearby, but for the most part, the owners of these corporations do not live anywhere near these operations.
Yeah, it's like being a slumlord.
Yes, yes.
Basically.
Except that they're making a ton of money
yeah, on it.
That's exactly it. And one of the things we're working on in Illinois is the fact that we want some local county board control. If I lived where I live down in central Illinois, if I was to oppose a low-level nuclear waste that would be coming in or garbage from Chicago down to my county in Peoria County, I would be able to petition my county board, and they would be able to have a yes or no vote whether this industry would be able to be allowed in my county. But that's not the case with factory farms in Illinois. We do have county board hearings, but not once has, after a county board has said no to a facility, has the Department of Ag denied it. So it's basically an exercise in futility. We want local control where the local people can have a say of what type of agriculture they want in their community.
I would say the same thing about a lot of other issues, you know, including fracking and other things. But one of the first things that happens with these big businesses is they take away the local control.
Yes. They set about to systematically cut local control out of every county in the country. That is one of Ag's biggest motives, because they do not want the local voice to be heard. And that's one thing we're working on in the state of Illinois with some new legislation we're looking to see in April. And the other issue is that a facility such as the one we're talking about near Petersburg, Illinois, near Lincoln's New Salem, once it's in, it can expand up to two and a half times its fixed capital cost every 2 years. So once a facility is in, it's in, and it can double and triple in size. And that's not the kind of community business development people want.
You know, we're fighting a battle in Chicago right now to keep the Lucas Museum off of the lakefront. And it's as if the Lucas Museum, once it was in place, suddenly swallowed Soldier Field and McCormick Place, and just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Exactly. You know, the folks that I work with in 30 counties in Illinois through Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water, many of them have health problems, their property values have plummeted, their quality of life has deteriorated. This does not mean that they are against agriculture. Most of the people
I would argue this is not agriculture.
Yes.
This is an abomination.
Yes.
Basically, it is inhumane treatment of animals. I mean, and people who follow this issue know what goes on at CAFOs, and animals are kept in very tightly constricted areas. Their lives are miserable, okay? And I don't want to go into graphic detail about this, but it's not healthy. It's not humane. They get pumped with antibiotics and on and on and on. And now, and you and I have talked about it on my show before, you've got ag gag laws where you can't even stand across the street and take a photo. Well, we haven't had those passed in Illinois yet, but we got a... It could happen.
After we took photos of the largest animal waste spill in Illinois history, which occurred 4 miles from our farm, they tried to pass legislation within the following year to make it a Class 3 felony to take a photo of an animal feeding operation. Now, our photo was used by the Illinois authorities, and they used that photo to prosecute an $80,000 fine on this operation. So, in retrospect, if that would have passed, anyone taking a photo of a spill could be subject to a penalty and a fine and jail time.
Whatever happened to the First Amendment in this country?
We're still fighting for it. We're out here and we're growing. We have a lot of traffic. We have a lot of requests. And we've been working all over the country with a socially responsible agricultural project. One of our projects is a mobile meat processing unit where we can bring a reefer truck that's been retrofitted. They go around to medium and small-sized farms, and they will kill, cut, and wrap on premises. The animal has less stress, and these farmers are able to provide their customers with locally grown, sustainable, humane meat. It's just another idea to fix our regional food system.
Yeah, that's Karen Hudson. As she mentioned, socially responsible agricultural product, and also Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water. Okay, the interesting thing that you told me about and made me want to grab you and bring you out in the hall to talk here is the study that the EPA, is it the Illinois EPA?
Yes. The Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water filed a petition using a provision in the Clean Water Act because we felt Illinois EPA was not regulating factory farms, these large-scale animal feeding operations in our state. And what we found came out in a report that was published in the Drake Journal of Ag Law. For example, we saw that some of these operations were never visited or visited every several years. And they were counting on just neighbor complaints to visit these operations. There were so many discrepancies we found. We filed a petition, and it clicked a federal investigation from the federal EPA on how Illinois EPA was behaving. Sometime later, they came back with a failing grade for Illinois EPA. Our EPA got a failing grade due to our group. So
from whom again?
From the federal EPA. They investigated.
Wow.
And said,
working. I suspect that there's a lot of people who agree with that assessment that the IEPA, I'm not really sure why they're there, because they don't seem to be very effective at all.
Well, there aren't enough inspectors, for one. We have about 30,000 animal feeding operations of all sizes in Illinois, and we need this industry, but if it's not going to be regulated, let's do something about it.
So we have a failed IEPA, and they were searching for CAFOs in Illinois.
Yes. So they were supposed to come up with an inventory. That's not a lot to ask. For food security.
How hard could it be to miss that? All you got to do is smell it.
For food security issues even. If we have an outbreak, we should
You need to know.
Yes, for food security issues even. So what Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water did was we launched our own investigation with the help of Northern Illinois University, Dr. Kendall Thu, and students from Northern Illinois University. And we looked at GIS maps. We used USDA data and several other. We did an exhaustive search. And we came up with about 560 CAFOs. We know there's about 1,000, but
in the state of Illinois.
In the state. And we came up with about 560. And recently the EPA sent their report in, and they only found about 250. So if Northern Illinois University, using student interns, can find these, there is no excuse. We know there's more out there, and they've got to get on the job. And if they can't, then we've got to make some big changes.
Maybe the IEPA needs your interns.
That's an idea. If the citizens have to do this work, so be it. But let's get a number. They need an inventory. They need to regulate these guys. They regulate themselves. They're threatening health. Your listeners may not know, but about 80% of all the antibiotics produced in the United States go to animal agriculture in the absence of disease. Where does that go? It comes out the tail end of the animal. Up to 75% of those drugs come out the tail end of the animal and end up in Illinois surface waters and on our fields and in the air. And that's a public health issue, and we're all looking at people that are living in the Chicago area all the way down to Carbondale, Illinois. Superbugs are on everyone's mind. It's killing people.
I have to ask the question, isn't it outrageous that there's no database about CAFOs? I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. It seems as though, okay, here's the way I would put it. It's a, the IEPA sends out a survey. Do you have more than X number of animals in X amount of space? Wouldn't that do it?
Right now, we have also found that they don't even, what the EPA turned in didn't even have the exact addresses of these facilities. We saw coordinates on a map, but what's needed are names, owners, addresses, essential information for emergencies, for food emergency issues, for spills, for the public health. They have not even turned that in. And it's a travesty that a group like ours could find such discrepancies.
So we live in a country where you can have tens of thousands of animals in a feeding operation, and there's no knowledge that that exists to the general public.
Unless the neighbors call to complain and file formal complaints, the EPA essentially said that they were going to complete the database as complaints about specific facilities came in. So on the basis of that,
what could possibly go wrong? Yeah,
it's unacceptable.
It is. It's totally unacceptable. All right. What is it that you guys are working on in terms of legislation in Illinois in the coming year?
Well, actually,
the coming session.
Yeah. We're looking for more local control. We want these county boards who hear these proposals to be able to say yes or no and have it stick. Right now it does not. It's just an advisory vote, and it has no teeth in it.
Yeah.
We want to close this expansion loophole. Once they're in, they can expand and then and infringe upon the neighbors and the entire community. And what we'd like
get used to. Hey, you folks who want to visit New Salem, I would do it really, really soon. It's not going to be habitable territory after a while.
Well, we'd like to see some setbacks from parks and wildlife areas as well. Now, I'm a farmer, and when they make a setback for those listeners, it's a distance the facility has to be away from a home. Now, in a setback case, it goes from the middle of your house, not your property line. And if you happen to own 10 acres, they're not going to go from the edge of your 10 acres. They're going to go to the middle of your home. That's a takings of my private property.
Yikes.
So we've got a meeting coming up on April 11th, and we're very excited. Dr. John Eichard from Columbia, Missouri, he is a economist and an expert on factory farm issues. He's written so many books. He's a wonderful mentor of all of ours. He's a speaker for Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water on April 11th. And we're offering free breakfast and lunch. People from all over are going to be coming and telling their stories. We're going to talk about legislation. And we're also conducting water quality testing training and providing all those materials for people who are facing CAFOs in their community.
And how do people get more information about that?
They can call Karen Hudson. My home phone is 309-742-8895. We welcome anyone to come and take part.
Can they also go to iccaw.org?
Yes.
All right. Karen Hudson, I am so glad I ran into you here at the Good Food Festival and Conference. Thank you so much. And you folks listening to this, if you're not outraged, there's something wrong with you. I don't even know what to say. If this doesn't bother you that we can't even identify the factory farm outfits in our own state without, you know, it's almost like you need a divining rod or something to find them, don't you think?
How about a few students with some good resources and a GPS and mapping?
More interns, more interns, more interns. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.